General meetings. Wheaton, August 1977. Children's meeting, Alan Hadley.
Could we turn to the back of our hymn sheets and read and sing number 46? Glad, TIDINGSIBRING, that JESUS has come to SAVE me. Hymn number 46. Glad, TIDINGSIBRING, that JESUS has come to save me. And he calls, and he calls all the GIRLS, and he wants all the OIS to another one. Yeah.
I don't know what number because we have different books about it. Number one and a different Sunday school class in it, and it's a long child's
son. Oh, that sounds like a good one. I didn't know what you were going to ask. How about number 42? So, little child of seven, was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Number 42. A little child of seven, or even three or four, may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. Good one. And I hope you each know the message of that. A little child of seven or even three or four may enter into heaven. We hope each boy and girl knows that fact here this morning. Who else has one? How about one on this side? Yeah. Which? 47. When he cometh to make up his jewels. Number 47. When he cometh,
to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his
Yes. What number?
40.
Number 40. Oh, what would we do without number 40? Jesus loves me, this I know. Number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know. Side over here. How about a girl? Anybody have a favorite? Hands? Well, yes. 33. Okay. That's inside. It's another, nothing either great or small. It's this one? Yeah. Number 33. It is finished, yes indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Number 33, let's start that for us. Nothing great or small.
Finished every job.
What one would you like? This requires a conference. That one so much, and I think we know that one by heart, or is it here? We sing that down in Bermuda, and all the children love that so much. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. And isn't it nice that we know that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. All right, we'll sing that first and second verse. The second verse is Jesus died for little children. Okay? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are red and black. Jesus loves the little children of the world. One verse in the Romans, and this nice chorus that we just have especially reminds us of it. It's Romans 1 and 16. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat it for me, with me. I want you to think about it as we read it. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I think we'll stop right there. Now let's work on that together, all right? Let's say it all over again. As you read it or as I read it together, say it with me, all right? It's Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Let's say that once again. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How many of you know that verse? How many of you learned it? Okay. Maybe we know it now. We've been thinking about this verse this week, and especially when it comes to boys and girls. And the thing of that word is shamed. And just think that the Apostle Paul could write, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That means the good news, boys and girls. And we hope that each one of you this morning are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't know if you boys and girls have ever been ashamed You know, there's another verse that says, whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed. I wonder if you, do boys and girls still go like this in school and say, shame? Do they do that? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a boy or girl say, shame on you? Huh? Have you seen that? I don't know if they still do that or not. When I was a little boy, they did that. And oh, we used to be so ashamed if you did something bad and the other children said, shame on you. Well, you know, God's word says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh, I'm sure every boy and girl here in the room doesn't want to be ashamed. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's God's power unto salvation. And I was thinking about, and incidentally, that verse is, I'm not ashamed of the good news. When I was a little boy your age, we had some very good news. I wonder what do you think that news was? It happened 50 years ago this year. It was Charles Lindbergh flew over the Atlantic, and that was good news. And everybody said, oh, did you hear what happened? Colonel Lindbergh, Lucky Lindy, flew over the Atlantic. And everybody was so enthusiastic to think that Charles Lindbergh had flown over the Atlantic Ocean in a plane. And there was such an electric current of excitement about that. I don't believe I've ever known anything, not even man getting to the moon. Perhaps that's close to it. But everybody was so excited to that Lindbergh went over the Atlantic in a plane. And my mother took me down to the store one day, and there was a suit down there. It was called a Lindbergh suit. It had a belt, a Sam Brown belt, and it made it look like Lindbergh's suit. And I just had to have that suit. And she said to me, are you sure you're going to wear that suit if I buy it? Oh, yes, I'm going to wear that suit. And it cost quite a bit of money. And so I had to wear that thing all year long till I grew out of it. But we were so enthused over having a Lindbergh. That was good news. And last week or so over in Chatham, a brother was talking about the steamboat. And there was a man that invented the steamboat. Does anybody know his name? His name is Robert Fulton. And everybody laughed. And they said, that's Fulton's folly. It'll never work. Do you know that it worked? Do you boys and girls know there's something with a boat with an engine in it that goes up the river all by itself without a sail on it? Do you know that? Or you would laugh, wouldn't you, if someone said, oh, Fulton's steamboat was a big mistake. It'll never work. You would laugh, wouldn't you? Well, we know the gospel works. And you don't have to know that. We know it. We've seen it work. God's word tells us it works. And we know it will work. And it's God's power unto salvation. Is that a strong power? Brethren that tell me say that's God's. That's the same word as the word dynamite comes from. God's dynamite unto salvation. Yes, God can change your life and my life through his gospel. You know, a bomb is a... I don't know if any of you have ever heard a bomb or not. Last week, I was in a building and a bomb went off. It was New York City. Bomb went off in my building. I went, kaboom! And everybody ran to the windows. And we heard the glass falling down on each side. And you know how big that bomb was? That bomb was about this big around, and it was in a lady's handbag, and it was left up there on one of the floors of our building, and it made the biggest boom you ever heard. It was louder than the thunder, it seemed to me, and it was just a little bomb about this big around. That's how powerful that bomb was. And I want to tell you something else, boys and girls, too. Not a single person in our building was hurt. And I'll tell you there were some people hurt. There's another bomb went off, too, in New York City that same day, and some people were, one of them was killed and others were badly hurt. Nobody in our building got a scratch. The man came out in the hall and he saw this handbag and he thought to himself, I'm going to find out who this belongs to and get it back to the proper owner. And so he looked in and he saw this bomb and he closed it back up and he said, everybody get out of the office. And 12 seconds later, that bomb went boom and everybody was out. And I'll tell you, the point I want to make about that is the people that own our building, 22-story building in New York City, are real Christians. They put their trust in the Lord Jesus about 10 years ago, and they pray together, and they ask God's protection over the building, and, you know, God answers prayer. And I'm sure in this case, God answered prayer because none of us were hurt. We were so thankful. But that's thinking about the power of God unto salvation. You know, God can change your life too. You know, I wonder if each boy and girl here, I asked this question in Bermuda, and I didn't mean to ask it the way it sounded, but I heard, and Brother Hayhill last night said he could see people nodding their heads or shaking their heads. But down in Bermuda this summer, I said, if I were to ask you boys and girls, how many of you know the Lord Jesus and have had your sins washed away in his precious blood, how many of you would raise your hands? And these boys and girls raised their hands just like that. A lot of them did. And I didn't mean for them to do that, because sometimes when boys and girls see their friends do things, they want to do the same thing too. And we know that it's right here in the heart that boys and girls believe in the Lord Jesus. Ones that are even 3 or 4 believe in the Lord Jesus when they're very, very young. But I was kind of happy to see them quickly raise their hand and say, yes, I belong to the Lord Jesus. We heard Mr. Begg talking about, he was a dear man, he loved boys and girls. And he'd go over to a boy or a girl, he'd say, are you saved? And if they said, oh yeah, and then try to get away as quick as possible, he would wonder about that boy or girl, whether they were really saved. I wonder how many of you, if we said, are you saved? Would you really, really say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? And you know, there's a funny thing, boys and girls. Maybe some of you can't express it so well. There's a little boy in Bermuda this summer. His name was Kevin. He's 10 years old. And one day he came up to the brothers and he said, I accepted the Lord Jesus today. I asked him to wash away my sins. Oh, that's so nice. I was so happy to hear that. We were all so happy. But you know what made us very happy about that? Whenever that little boy would see us, he'd come up and look at us, he'd wave at us, and he'd smile at us, and he acted like he really liked us. Isn't that something? He acted like we were real people. And you know, that spoke a lot to my heart, because sometimes boys and girls, they don't want to look at you, and they don't seem to want to have much to do with you. And there's a dear old brother in our meeting named Brother Richards. He's 82 and he's just had an operation. But you know what he says? Whenever there's a boy or girl that's saved, or when they get a little older and they want to remember the Lord at the Lord's table, he'll say, I've been watching him or her, and I notice she sings all the hymns. And you know, she comes up and she shakes my hand, or he shakes my hand and looks me right in the eye. You know, when Brother Richard says that, we think, oh, that means a lot, doesn't it? Maybe they didn't even say a word about how much they love the Lord Jesus, but they would come up to Brother Richards and they'd shake hands with him and look him in the eye and look like they were glad to see them. And that makes a big difference to us. Now, sometimes we think there are great things to do, But oh, how nice it is to know that you love the Lord Jesus. One of my boys, when he was 7 years old, I guess there's some 7 years old people this morning, when he accepted Christ, he did something, and as far as I know, he only did that once. He went into school the next day and took a gospel tract for everybody in the room and one for the teacher. And he laid that tract down on the table, walked around and put one on every desk, and then he went back to his seat and sat down, and he never said a word. But that was his way. He wanted to confess the Lord Jesus and have his boys and his schoolmates and his classmates also put their trust in the Lord Jesus. I wonder how you feel that way. Isn't it nice to think there are those little things we can do as boys and girls? We can sit in the meeting as you do this morning so nicely, and you can sing the hymns, and we can listen when one of the brothers is speaking, and we look at a boy like that and say, yes, we can see that that child has a real interest in things of the Lord, and how happy it makes us, because we know that pathway of happiness, and we want you to be happy, and the Lord Jesus wants you to be happy too, is by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may we just think of him, a little girl in Bermuda too this year. This is another case. I don't know whether there's any little girls like this or not, but last year we were down there, and I don't know, I think a few people were saved, but not very many. And we just had to come home and say, well, Lord, we gave the gospel, but we didn't see very many people saved. And this year when we were sitting, and I wasn't there, but there's an 8-year-old girl named Kelly. I guess she's 9 this year. And she was telling another girl how to be saved. And one of the workers said, when were you saved? Oh, she said, I was saved last year at the Bible Hour. And here we'd gone all year and never knew that this girl had accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior last year. But we knew it this year, and we're very happy. A very happy look on her face, and she's very happy, and really encouraged us too to think that here was somebody we didn't know anything about. Boys and girls, if you know the Lord Jesus, I hope you'll just... how wonderful it is, as our brother was saying last night, to tell others about him, confess his name, and say, yes, I belong to the Lord Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior, and his blood has washed away my sins. I'll tell you one other boy now, and just not so much of a happy note. There's a boy down in Bermuda, we won't say his name, because we don't know where his soul is today. But he came to the Bible Hour several years, and then the year before last, I hang around the outside every afternoon, and he would speak to different people, and he would say, I don't believe there's any God. And he would say, what makes you think there's a God? And some of the workers down there would speak to him very earnestly and say, yes, there is a God. We've come down to Bermuda to tell you about the Lord Jesus. And we know so many things. We can see him in creation. And we would talk to him at great length. Last winter, I was sorry to read his name in the Royal Gazette. He had died. Yes, he was a young, beautiful boy, handsome boy, had died. And we felt so sorry. We didn't know how he had died. We found out that he got sick. And he had an infection they couldn't cure. And one day before he died, his mother went in to see him, and he says, Mama, I'm not going to get better. Oh, I wonder if there's any boy and girl here that ever would be that sick and have to look up at your mother's face and say, Mama, I'm not going to get better. and this boy went died, and we don't know where he is now. As a young, he was a young, strong boy, and now he's buried. And we hope every boy and the girl, every boy and girl in the room, as I say, we don't know. Oh, we hope that boy turned to the Lord before he was saved, but we have no way of knowing it. So we hope each one of you this morning, before it's too late, say yes to the Lord Jesus. Yes to him. I want to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt be saved. And then that verse we had, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, let's make a stand for him. Let's go on faithfully for him. We know it works. We don't have to laugh like they did at Fulton Steamboat. We don't have to worry to see if a man could ever fly across the Atlantic like Charles Lindbergh. We know all those things are past, and we know the gospel works, and we know the gospel has power. There's a man in Bermuda in prison now. If you saw him, you'd love him. A lovely Christian man, but he used to be in a band of murderers, and he's put into prison for a long time. And one of his friends, who also confesses the Lord, is sentenced to be hung by the neck until dead. But this man now is instead of being a hateful murderer, yes, he's accepted the Lord Jesus while he's in prison, and he wants to tell other people about it. And if you saw him, you'd love him. He has a happy, happy smile and a warm heart that you can feel. And the only one thing he'd like to do, and he preaches the gospel now to other prisoners, but he'd like to get out so he can tell many, many more people about the Lord Jesus and how good it is to be saved. We should remember him, too, in our prayers. He's a dear man, and learning scriptures and learning the truth. And we just would be so happy to see him go on in the truth and be found with and happy fellowship of the Lord's dear people.